I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round three recap for this week's Houston Open. Joining me to break it all down is Greg Ducharme. Greg, hey, buddy.
What's going on, Rick? Exciting day. This is a surprisingly exciting day in Houston. A lot of ups and downs, roller coaster rides near the finish, and ultimately, this leaderboard right now is representative of the PGA Tour season we've had so far. It could be the name of a band. It's Scotty and the Long Shots.
I love that. Perfect. Scotty and the Long Shots. Well, let's jump into it because we have a lot to get to. There are 12 golfers who are either tied for the lead or within two shots. One of them is the guy who shot the round of the day, and that was Nick Dunlap, a 63 to move him to 8 under par for the tournament. And Greg, this has been kind of a weird year for Dunlap. Obviously, he wins the American Express as an amateur, turns pro, and it has not been roses since then. He has not cracked the top 40, but here he is now entering a Sunday very much in the mix.
Yes, and he played some really good golf today. Hit the ball well, but the really impressive thing from Nick Dunlap today was those putts from about 8 to 12 feet. He made a pile of those today, and that's really what he did at the American Express as well. Anytime he was in that mid range, he showed off the beautiful putting stroke, and it was definitely on form today.
So we've got Nick Dunlap at 8 under, two others at 8 under, including Taylor Moore. Talked about this a little bit last night with Patrick, Greg. He's rounding back into form, right? After the win basically a year ago at last year's Valspar, he kind of went through a little bit of a slump at the end of last year, didn't play well in the playoffs, did not play well at the Tour Championship, but 2024 has been much better, and he had his best finish of the year last week at Valspar, and now he's getting another crack at it this time around.
Yeah, he hasn't really been missing cuts. It hasn't been a catastrophe, but you know, he only had, before the Valspar, one finish inside the top 30, and it was at the Century, which was a T25 in that short field. So over the last couple of weeks, we've seen a big improvement from Taylor Moore, and it's fun to watch him play. He was a little wild off the tee today, but fortunately, this golf course accepts that more often than not. So it worked out well for him. I hold a couple of really nice putts, and Taylor Moore is definitely looking good heading into tomorrow.
The third man in the trio at 8 under par is Akshay Bhatia. So he has gone 67, 68, and then another 67 on Saturday. That is 3 birdies and an eagle to go with 2 bogeys on the card. I love watching Akshay, Greg. You know, even when he's playing well, it looks like there's just so much more talent. I mean, it's just raw talent on raw talent. He's so fun to watch. When he gets it going, there's so much excitement. So I love it when he's in the mix.
Yeah, you heard some nice conversations with his caddy today as well, as they were kind of talking it over. And he hit a lot of really high quality iron shots, leads the field in strokes gained approach for the week so far, and executed a number of them beautifully today as well. The one thing with Akshay is, like you say, there's so much more in the tank. It's these kind of silly mistakes. He'll miss a 4-footer. We missed a couple of those today. He'll get around the greens and hit a fat chip shot from perfect position. And it just is it's a young player with a little bit of maturing to do, but the talent and the upside is extremely high.
Yeah, hit it into the water on 16. There's always a mistake or two lurking, but like you said, it's upside. And when you talk about, you know, the young guys, Akshay is like basically one of the youngest guys on the PGA Tour, right? And he just has so much more development, I imagine, is coming.
And he took a lot of criticism for turning professional and not going to play in college. And look, we'll never know if that was the right decision or the wrong decision, but he has definitely started to form his place on the PGA Tour, and he's earning and developing a lot of experience at the highest level. So things are working out well for Akshay so far.
He just turned 22.
And he's an experienced PGA Tour player.
Yeah. An experienced professional. I mean, he's played a ton of pro events. So it's going to be interesting to see what the next 5 years looks like for Akshay. I'm going to hit this break early here because those are the three in at 8 under. I want to get to the five guys that are currently tied for the lead and give them their due. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back. Greg, we've hit the 8-unders. Before we get to the 9s, let's talk about at least one of the 7-under guys. So Ramy, Aaron Rye, Max Grazerman, and Tony Finau are in at 7 under par. Finau was our overnight leader. He played in the final group, and this was slow out of the gate, to put it mildly. Bogeys on 1, 5, 10. His first birdie did not come until the 13th hole. He then got a little bit of a bonus on 16 after hitting it into the water. He was able to take a drop and he chipped it in for birdie, but a 10 shot difference from Tony's Friday 62 to his Saturday 72 drops him 8 spots down the leaderboard.
And in round two, everything was going in for him. Everything, he was pouring it right in the middle, and he gets out on the very first hole and misses a 4-footer. And there was just no energy from there. I think 5 was also a 3-putt, which, so all of a sudden, that all that momentum that you're gaining yesterday, yes, 5 was a 3-putt. That's right. So, you know, two kind of errors or mistakes, situations where you'd like to make, you'd like to make pars, and you'd think they're very much in play. He makes a couple of bogeys, doesn't take advantage of either of the par fives. And ultimately, this just came down to the putter. I know his iron statistics for the day didn't look very good, but he gathered no momentum on the greens. He didn't hit it close per se, but he made nothing, and he didn't even really give it a run. Like it wasn't like they almost went in, where there's hope that, oh, I just got to keep giving myself looks. One of these is going to go in. It's like, you know, you're kind of hitting bad putts. So it was a very big difference from yesterday. Of course, would have been nice if I was on to talk about Tony yesterday. I could have pounded my chest a little bit, but it's funny how that works out.
Yeah, last night we gave him this one and the Masters already. Now
we have to retract. No, they're still very much in play.
No, he is. I mean, it's the overused term, the logjam. There's a million guys still in this thing. Tony Finau, 2 shots off the lead. That leaves us with the 5 guys tied for the lead, Greg. And they've got a variety of pedigrees. Let's start with the one that shot the best round of those 9 unders, and that was David Skins. So that was a bogey-free 65. And Skins, who you might remember from his T4 at the Cognizant earlier this year, is putting himself in position again. And he's probably not somebody that most people know about. He's a European. He's 42 years old. Hasn't played a lot of PGA Tour events, but here he is again for the second time since, you know, the beginning of the month. He's in the mix.
Yes. And, you know, he played some golf on the Corn Ferry Tour quite a bit. So he's been trying to work his way up to the PGA Tour, and here he is getting accustomed to, you know, late groupings on Sunday. So it was really cool to see the way he tacked this round of golf. You know, he did actually hit some tee shots that were quite long. He got after a few out there for a guy that's not a very long hitter. But ultimately, David Skins was really smart, and this was a really simple round of golf for him. I mean, look at where these birdies come from. It's the, two of the 3 par fives. He hits a couple close at 12 and 13. But it was very simple. And the thing that he did so well, and the reason why it's the best round of the guys at 9 under, is he didn't make any of those mistakes. Correct. He didn't hit it in the water anywhere. He kept it in front of him. And all of a sudden, he shoots a clean 5 under, and all of a sudden, he's tied for the lead.
15, 16, 17, and 18. I guess maybe not so much 16, although you can hit it into the water there and, you know, par is on the table. It's a risk reward hole, but it caused a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
For these guys. I mean, it was a constant shuffle. Like we're going to end the day with 5 guys tied for first, but it was just a constant shuffle of the order of who looked like they were going to have the upper hand going into Sunday. That finishing stretch, I can't wait to see what tomorrow brings, right? Because if it brings a similar style of birdies and bogeys and good shots and bad shots as it did today, it's going to be one heck of a fun finish.
Well, what they did with the setup was You know, this is a really long golf course. We spent a lot of time talking about that earlier in the week. And today they set it up as short as it was all week, right? Only 7,300 yards in its setup. That might have been, I might have that wrong.
Today was 71.10, I
think. Yeah, 71. Not 73, 71. So that was really cool. And I love what they did with the setup of 13, making it drivable with that front hole location. It was, there's no bunkers on the hole. You look at it on a map overhead and there's nothing to that hole. But when you look a little closer and you put that hole location in the front, there's carnage lurking, which was really cool. And then on 15, the short par three, it's 121 yards, played as the toughest hole on the golf course today. And so that brings a lot of guys into the mix, which is where I think these variety of pedigrees come from, and isn't necessarily the bomber's paradise that we thought it would be because of that setup today. So I enjoyed that, and I hope they find a way to do something similar tomorrow.
Co-leader number two, let's go to Steven Yeager, who shot his second consecutive 66 to get in at 9-under. But, Greg, it was not without a little bit of turbulence. The front nine was awesome. Birdies on 2, 3, 4, and 9. He makes the turn at 4-under, tacks on another at 12, and Yeager looks like he's in full control before kind of hitting one pretty wide on 13 and making bogey there, and then struggling for par on 14, in which he makes another bogey there. So he gives two back. He's able to salvage one at 16, the par five coming in. But man, it was not without a lot of stress in this round.
He also hit it in the water at 17 off the tee and made par.
That's right.
Had to roll in a long one to make par there. So this was very solid, looking phenomenal in those first 12 holes. Hit his first 12 greens at regulation. And at 13, the drivable par four, he hits it long right after hitting the cart path and hits a chip shot that catches the ridge and rolls off the green. That was the first green he missed. He only hit one more for the rest of the round. And that was 12. He hit two more. He hit 16 and 18. So it was a really solid ball striking day. And then things got a little shaky and he fell victim to this golf course setup. At 14, he missed a short one after hitting it in the bunker with his second. But all in all, I love what Steven Yeager's done. I love what he's doing off the tee. He's blasting it out there. He has completely changed his game. And it's nice that we've now eliminated this question of, hey, Steven Yeager's playing really well, but what's the ceiling? We're starting to see some ceiling performances from him.
Yeah. Co-leader number three, Thomas Dietrich. So he shoots a Saturday 67, a couple of birdies early, and then it kind of just turns into some pretty steady golf after that. I love this guy's swing. Oh. And when he has the little like 2 yard piercing draw that he hit on 18 off the tee was just unbelievable. And I love it when he kind of gets that swag going. He had a run, I want to say it was like last fall, where he was really in the mix a lot. 2024 hasn't been as good to him, but he's got a couple of decent finishes.
Yeah, he played some pretty good golf on the West Coast. But, you know, the funny thing is you watch this swing and it's majestic. But he's really like a scrambler. And he's not the most accurate ball striker. Which is strange when you watch his golf swing. It kind of reminds me of Harris English, where it's a joy to watch. It's beautiful to watch when he swings, but you start looking into some of the numbers and start studying these rounds of golf, and a lot more of it comes from short game and putting. So I like what he's done on the greens. He's a great putter. This seems to be a great golf course for him, and I know I'm going to really enjoy watching him swing the club all day tomorrow.
Alejandro Tosti is co-leader number four. And this was kind of a bizarre little day because he is warming up clearly in discomfort, whether it is shoulder, left shoulder, or maybe neck region, clearly uncomfortable. And it did not stop when play begun because he was, first off, uncorking himself at some of these drives, and then immediately grabbing his arm, grabbing his shoulder. He wasn't leaving anything in the tank if he was injured. He was able to grind through it and shoot a 268, Greg. But this was like, I was nervous watching him.
Yes. And every time he grabbed that shoulder, it was a low left shot. And he hit some wildly left shots. I think I got to look this up, but it's like the entire round he missed left off the tee. And he's very fortunate to be on a golf course like this. Okay, that's not going to tell me right there.
He misses left on one. He misses left on three. He hits the fairway on four. He hits it on five. He misses left on six. Misses left on 8. 10, he misses right. So we've got one right miss. 12, he misses left. 13, he misses left. 14, he misses left. 16, he's on the left edge. Oh, that's the one that rolled up against the cut. 17, barely on the left side. And 18, he missed left. So one right miss. Everything else was left.
Everything was left. And fortunately, the golf course allowed for it because his iron play was fine. He gave himself tons of opportunities. He made some really nice putts, some long ones. It was an exciting round of golf for him. And he's fiery. He got into a little tussle with Tony Finau, it seemed. Hard to know what was going on there, but it was weird. Like there was some tension.
It looked, or the way that they were describing it is they're both of their balls came to rest very close to one another. And I guess they were trying to decide who was away, presumably because they each wanted the read from the other one, but right. It was not as cordial or like, I'll go or you go, or let's like, it was a long conversation.
And then it happened. There was another situation where they were similar distances, not as close. And according to John Wood, Finau said, it's you, and walked away. And he was like, seriously? So there was some tension there with Tony Finau.
I know, right? Like, how could you get under Tony's skin?
that had to play a role with Tony's performance today.
Interesting.
I'd be shocked if it didn't. Because you're never... Alejandro is... he seems like he's fiery. Oh, this is only his 12th start on tour.
He's fiery. He's like, he's like that dude on tour right now.
Right. So I would imagine he's comfortable in that kind of environment. And Tony is not.
Right.
Not at all. He's probably never been in a situation like that. Because how could you get into a tuffle with Tony Finau? What could you have done to make this so bad? So very interesting, but ultimately it was a great round of golf for Alejandro Tosti, and he's been fun to watch so far. Hopefully he gets that neck cleared up and we can see some of these blasting tee shots get into the fairway instead of the left side of the hole.
Yeah. It was like a bar fight, and that's where Alejandro thrives, and Tony Finau was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I got to go home.
Right.
I will say, I was impressed. Obviously, he was injured. Obviously, things were like not going well. He hit the green on number two, which is a par three, proceeded to putt it off the green, Greg, and make double. And I thought I thought his hand was hovering over the eject button, right? Like, I thought this was, I'm like, the guy's hurt. He has just putted it off the green and made double. Like, I mean, he hit four straight shots with his putter on the second hole of the day. For him to get one of them right back, to have it back under par by the turn, to keep himself in this thing, I was impressed by it.
Yeah, and I don't think he made... Oh, he made one more bogey at 15, where he got pretty lucky that it stayed up. All in all, it was really solid performance to get five more birdies out of it, shoot under par, get himself in a tie for the lead. I'm right there with you, Rick. That was impressive.
The man that I've saved, the fifth and final co-leader, is a favorite. It's the number one player in the world. It's Scottie Scheffler, who made a bunch of birdies in round number three, 8 in total. He had 2 bogeys and a very bizarre double that he made on 15. We'll get to that in just a second. But even when things go wrong for Scottie, Greg, they're good enough. I mean, he is just masterful on some of these approach shots. I mean, he was knocking stuff just stone dead.
And, you know, the first two rounds, he really wasn't. It was not a great Scottie Scheffler-like performance with the irons over the first two rounds. And in round three, it was back. This is where he has dominated the PGA Tour over the last couple of years, and he did it again today. It just looks like every shot is going right at it. And there were a number of these cut shots, which is the go-to shot that seemed to fit perfectly into his shape today. Even the bogey made at four, like he hit that ball right at the flag. It catches a ridge and goes down a little swale. And he says after, such a good shot. Mm-hmm. And so you could tell he was really feeling it with the golf swing today. And then 15, 13, the other bogey, there's no iron shot. He drives it up left of the green, chips it over the green, ends up making bogey. But at 15, that ball's what, 4 feet from the hole when it lands?
Yeah. So if you didn't get a chance to tune in today, 15 is a diabolical little par three. As Greg mentioned, played as the hardest hole on the golf course. It's 121 yards. I mean, it is. I mean, I would hit like maybe a gap wedge or a pitcher wedge. Imagine what these guys are. You know what I mean? Like, it is just a very short hole, but everything wants to funnel off. And if it funnels fast enough and it funnels hard enough, it will get down to the water. This little kind of creek type situation that
runs short and left.
Yes. So Scotty hit a shot that lands. It bounces short of the pin. When it starts to put the spin on, and maybe it spins, maybe it doesn't, yeah, it's like 5 feet from the cup. I mean, it is about to be just another dialed Scotty shot. Spins a little bit too much, starts running down the front of the green, falls off the green, starts picking up steam, doesn't stop in the rough, gets through the rough, and goes into the water. I mean, the difference is inches between him being 5 feet for birdie or having to drop and eventually end up making a bogey.
Yeah, he probably landed it like 5 yards short of where he ideally wanted to.
Yeah, you don't want to land it short of the green or short of the pin, excuse me. But it was not as bad of a shot as it was like an A minus execution and an F result.
He was with Jaeger and Toast. No, not Toasty. He was with Jaeger and Ramey today, and he definitely hit the best shot of the three and made the worst score of the three. Yes. So that was kind of disappointing.
Yeah. Ramey's also came down the hill, but stayed in the rough.
Right. And his came down the hill on the left, where Scotty's came down the hill straight on. So Jaeger hit a terrible shot and made par because he missed it to the right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's so funny. You kind of got to bail out right on a 120 yard hole.
So needless to say that even if things go slightly better for Scotty between 4 and 15, that might be 3 shots.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And look, 4 is just tough. He missed that green yesterday too and hit a great shot, ended up chipping in. So if you consider, I think 13 is much more gettable. He drives it to the right in perfect position and hits his pitch shot over the green there. I think it's very, very easily could have made birdie there, you know, with a typical Scotty Scheffler shot. So things went wrong for him on a number of occasions, and he still finds himself in a tie for the lead. Just tells you how much firepower this guy has.
Yeah, truly sick stuff. Well, so let's zoom out a little bit. 9 under par. That's 5 at the lead. 3 in at 8 under. Another 4 at 7 under. Nobody in at 6. 3 golfers in at 5 under par. So you're talking about 12 golfers at 7 under par or better. So let's see what Vegas has to say about this. We'll get the betting odds here, Josh, and I imagine we're going to see a very short number, and we do. Next to Scotty Scheffler's name, that is plus 140 to win the Houston Open. Steven Yeager gets the nod with the second shortest odds, 6.5 to 1, Thomas Dietrich, 7.5. Then, this is kind of interesting, Taylor Moore, who is one shot back, and Akshay Bhatia, who is one shot back, have the next shortest odds at 12-1, better than Toasty at tied for the lead at 14, better than David Skins, who's tied for the lead and 16-1. And then Tony Finau, if you think he can rebound after a 10 shot swing and maybe he goes, I don't know, 9 in the other direction, he's 20-1, Greg.
So my betting card for the week has Scotty and Tony on it. So, I mean, I'm a big believer in if one of your guys at the beginning of the week has themselves in the mix, it's probably worth staying there. If one of them, Scotty Scheffler, that helps. So actually, pretty similar odds today to what Scotty Scheffler had at the beginning of the week as well. Not far off. So I think it's very likely that Scotty Scheffler wins. Extremely likely. One round to go. He is absolutely the best player in the mix here. And I don't even think he needs his best stuff. His B game will beat some of these other players' A game. I really do believe that. And I don't say that lightly. There's no one else in the game who I could say that about comfortably. So it's Scotty.
We saw him cough up like 3 pretty boneheaded strokes and is shot a 66 and like no problem. I mean, I'm
yeah, and that doesn't even bring up yesterday, the boneheaded mistakes.
Yeah.
Like he's hit 3 balls in the water. Scotty Scheffler has hit 3 balls in the water over the last 2 rounds.
He's missed
in Houston.
Yeah, and he's missed he had 3 putts from 7 feet on 18 yesterday. Like this is I'm fairly certain Scotty's going to win this.
Josh asked if he hit any in the water at Sawgrass. I don't think he did. I don't think he did at Bay Hill either.
I don't remember.
Which is amazing.
If you were required to bet somebody tonight that was not named Scotty Scheffler, I think that I think Taylor Moore is kind of interesting at 12-1.
Yeah, he is. I think Yeager is interesting. He's been knocking on the door. Could be ready to go. But I'd go Finau. This is an awful day for Finau.
Let's see. Let's look at the tee times for tomorrow. Let's see who's playing with who. So what are they doing here? They're going off 1 and 10. Okay, so final group is Scotty, Yeager, David Skins. Penultimate group, Toasty, Dietrich, Dunlap, Taylor Moore, Akshay, Max Grazerman. So Finau is getting Ramey and Aaron Rye at 9 a.m. Pacific. So that's 12 Eastern.
Which I think is a good group for him. Getting off a little bit early. Couple groups ahead of him, which is nice. I really think it's between Scheffler and Finau. I love what Yeager's been doing too. But you got to go beat Scotty Scheffler in the same group as him.
Yeah. I think we're 18 holes away from saying Scotty Scheffler's going to enter the Masters on a three-peat.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels that way.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, this time tomorrow we'll know. And then we'll get to opine about the Texas Open, and maybe we'll get somebody who can, you know, get us even more excited about the Masters than we already are, if that's possible. But we're going to put a pin in it for now. And I'm going to say big thanks to producer Josh, who does all the hard work behind the scenes. Greg Ducharme is available at The Real GFD, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Docuseries on Paramount Plus. Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
To the can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.